to 20 Minutes and Two Beers In. I'm JD.
Hey, everybody. This is Bobby.
Episode 164, Season 4. We have a special guest this week.
We're reaching back, JD.
We're going back to Season 1, and this is exciting because we talked to Ryan Burchett of Mississippi River Distilling Company then.
Yeah.
And Ryan had just started this company with his brother, Garrett, and it's really grown. I mean, they've won awards, and we're going to talk to him how it's changed and just the state of craft distillery.
Yeah, and they've got a big big fight they're going on right now with Iowa legislation. We'll see how we'll see what his take on it right now. It's big for distilleries, so that's exciting. We also have some great music, as always.
Yeah, I'm bringing some rock. I'm bringing it. It's. I know you're shocked.
Always shocked with you.
You know, I was going to bring the new Fuel album, but I did not.
Oh, wow.
I did not. It's actually pretty good.
I think they're on their, like, fifth lead singer right now.
Well, it still sounds good.
If they, as long as they did they throw on, like, all those bands from the 90s did, they throw on, like, here's our track that we really made us big back in 1995. We did a redo with it with our fifth lead singer just to make sure you know we still have that song in our pocket.
I'm sure there's one or two of them on that album. But overall, it's good. But you know what, folks? I'm not bringing that. I bring a new group, and I'm very excited to cover that. Also, I'm excited to get your take on a few things during the six-pack.
Yeah, I've got some excellent questions. As always, I feel like this side of the room, and I'm pointing to my side of the room, always brings the great questions for the six-pack, and this, I brought it again. This is going to be a really good six-pack and a hard one for you. You're going to be agonizing because it's going to bring up one of the signings that you thought was golden when it happened, and now it's over.
Peyton Manning's leaving the Broncos.
Now, don't dream it's over. That's what I feel like is
going
in here.
You were doing it.
Hey now.
Come on, Crowded House.
There's a world between us. You know they won't win. All right, but before we get to Ryan, we should open with my music this week, JD, and I have some rock music as well. We had him on, Patrick Carey from Limbeck, on a couple weeks ago for an interview, but he talked about a band that released an album in 2013 that he's a part of. The band is called The Pride of Erie, PA. And this song is called Hate Me.
We are joined with Ryan Burchett of Mississippi River Distilling Company, founded in 2010. They've been making waves in the craft liquor community. Started out with the River Baron Artisan Spirit, but they have vodka, gin, award-winning Cody Road bourbon, rye, tons of seasonal. They have a six-shooter smoke whiskey.
Came out
in February. I'm excited to give that a whirl. Ryan and his brother started this in Mississippi River Distilling Company's been awarded Iowa Home Brewer of the Year. They've been featured in Country Living Magazine. They won top industry ratings at the San Francisco World Spirits Competition. Ryan, this intro is a lot longer than when I first interviewed you in 2010 for the show when I said, hey, he started a distillery.
I said, you leave me something to talk about. No, it's been a wild ride over 3 years, that's for sure.
How has it changed? Are you surprised? Is it going as planned?
It's I think it surpassed any expectation of how fast things have grown, and it's kind of been a right place at the right time thing. We were in LeClaire, Iowa, about 2.5 hours west of Chicago, right where you cross I-80 from Illinois into Iowa. And the only reason anyone's heard of LeClaire is if you watch the American Pickers. We're about 3 blocks from those guys. But we started off just kind of as a small tourist attraction, kind of a model of we make vodka, gin, and whiskey from local grain from farmers within 25 miles of our building. But when we started, there was a couple hundred craft distilleries in the United States. We're kind of at the point microbrewing was maybe 15, 20 years ago. But now, 3 years later, there's the American Distilling Institute estimates there's somewhere around 800 of these small distilleries popping up around the country. So things are just exploding. And what we're really noticing, just even within the last 6 to 12 months, is the market awareness of craft spirits. People, bartenders and consumers alike are really starting to seek this stuff out. And it's just growing by leaps and bounds, and our stuff showing up on more shelves, and more people are calling us looking for it. And it's we finished 2014. Our products are available in 16 states, and by the end of we finished 13. We expect to finish 2014 in about 25 states. So it's growing like crazy, and hopefully people are seeing it pop up on the shelf around Chicago a bit too.
Yeah, we've actually purchased a bunch of it at Binney's. Loving every bit of it. You continue to have new concoctions out. Are you always on the lookout for something new, like this smoke whiskey you have?
Right. We do limited bottlings about 4 or 5 times a year. What we try to do is come up with some unique recipe or some other local ingredients that we can incorporate. We do a small bottling. It'll vary anywhere from maybe 1,000 bottles to 5,000 bottles. And we put them out there, and when they're gone, they're gone. But the idea is, number one, to just keep things fresh in the marketplace and always have some new stuff to talk about. And then number two, just to give us a kind of a creative outlet to try some new things and see what we come up with. And we've done some really weird things. We did, we called it Mono Loco. It was a rye whiskey with fresh bananas in it, and which is, Mono Loco is Spanish for crazy monkey. We've done some more traditional things, like in the wintertime, we always do a coffee liqueur with coffee from a local coffee roaster. But the Six Shooter Smoke is our Cody Road rye whiskey with a cherry wood smoked barley added to it. And people might be, or certainly are familiar with smoked whiskey in scotch. Scotch is made from barley and smoked with typically peat moss, and it gives it a really distinctive smoke flavor. Well, this is more of an American take on it. The cherry wood smoke gives it more of a kind of a barbecue sweetness that's a little different. And we only made 1,000 bottles of that one. Very limited supply, but it's actually just rolling out in Illinois right now. Just here within the last couple of months, we signed on with Wirtz Beverage across Illinois, which is the largest alcohol distributor in the state of Illinois. So our visibility is starting to take a big step forward. And you mentioned Binney's has been really good to us. There's a lot of retailers in Chicago that have our stuff, but Binney's pretty well has carried everything that we come out with. And they've got the Six Shooter Smoke, and that'll be available here probably will last a month or two. And then in April, we're gearing up for what is, this will be the third year we've made our Queen Bee Honey Whiskey. And it's our Cody Road Bourbon with fresh honey from a local beekeeper about 30 miles from our distillery. And it's been a big hit for us every year. And people typically are knocking on the door lining up for that one. So that will be hitting shelves again here in early April.
Yeah, I've kicked back a few bottles of those. That is great. Tell me about this custom whiskey, my whiskey thing you have going.
Yeah, we, you know, we've tried to really showcase the fact that we are little. And that gives us, we're a little more nimble than some of the big guys are. And we started off with an adopt a barrel program where you could adopt a barrel of whiskey as your own. And then when we were done with it, you got the empty barrel and some of the whiskey that came out of it. And then we thought to ourselves, we could really take this another step further and actually physically make a barrel of whiskey for somebody. And we were going to do that. But instead of just stopping at, hey, let's make a barrel of the whiskey that we already put into bottles, we said we could make a whiskey that could be completely customized for somebody if they wanted it, all the way to the point of choosing the yeast, choosing the grain bill, choosing the char of the barrel that it goes into, choosing how long it ages. And then we go and get the label design, have it submitted to the federal government so that it's federally approved. And then we bottle it per the customer's specs and get it out to marketplace through a distributor and everything. So it's all done through the system. And it's but somebody gets, you know, if you wanted a whiskey with your name on the front, that's absolutely within our realm. And you get one barrel. It works out to be about 150, 160 bottles.
Nice.
For about, by the time you're done, it costs about $6,000. But if you break it down, it's just a little under $40 a bottle, depending on what proof you bottle it at, which is actually pretty reasonable. We've had everything from corporate people doing it to bars and restaurants who wanted to have their own whiskey to just guys that really like whiskey and have some money burning in their pocket, I guess. But it's been a lot of fun. It's given us a chance to try some new things on a small scale, and it's something that's really unique to a small distillery like us.
Well, not only are you working hard at coming up with new ideas for different flavors that whiskey drinkers would enjoy, but you're also working on legislation. Tell us about what's going on with the micro distilleries bill that you're trying to get passed in Iowa.
Yeah, we're trying to get the law changed actually to look a little closer like what they can do across the river from us in Illinois. In Iowa, it is legal for us as a distillery to sell 2 bottles per person per day and to offer 2 ounces of free samples per person per day. It's illegal for us to sell a cocktail by the glass. And what we'd like to see is some of the same privileges that Iowa breweries and wineries have been able to enjoy over the last several years. You know, where you can have a tasting room, people can sit down and enjoy a beer made at that brewery or a glass of wine made at that winery. We'd like people to be able to sit down and buy a flight of whiskeys or maybe a cocktail made with the spirits that we make at our distillery. So we've been working for the past 2 years on getting this bill to move through the state house. The first year we got squashed pretty fast. This year we've had a little more traction, but it's still a challenge for us. And so we're just trying to get people more aware. But legislators are really nervous about tinkering with alcohol laws with the fear that they're going to create a loophole for some big producer or some unintended consequences. And so we're just trying to educate lawmakers and let them see that this would be a good thing for the state and for tourism. Because we do free tours 5 times a day, every day, 7 days a week. And we saw over 50,000 people come through our distillery last year for tours. But once you've taken a tour, you get about a 20, 30-minute tour. You get a little sample at the end. There's really no reason to come back because if you've seen the tour, you've seen it. You can't have people just hang out. And we really want to be able to have events, maybe wedding rehearsal dinners or hire a band, have them hang out, you know, and let people come in and spend some time at the distillery with us. And that's what we kind of see as the next step for the industry in the state. And we're hoping that lawmakers come around and see that our way as well.
How can people help support you in this cause?
You know, the best thing that people can do is just keep talking about it and making sure that, you know, especially people in Iowa contacting their legislators and say, hey, you got to do this thing. This makes sense. You need to support this industry. And it's as much about, you know, what we're doing in our small distillery as it is about small business and tourism, especially in rural areas and even tax revenue for the state because of the taxes that are paid on liquor. And, you know, just the more people talk about it, the better. And on the flip side of that, as from a consumer, whether you're in Iowa or any state, keep the mentality of craft. Look for those products that are on the shelf that are made locally, that are made by the small producers instead of just the mass-produced stuff, because it does make a difference. We've seen it in beer and wine, and people are now starting to turn the corner in their mentality towards spirits. And I think that whether you look for Mississippi River Distilling Company products or any small distiller, getting people's brains tuned into craft is good for all of us, because people who like craft products, craft beer, for example, they don't drink one. Mm-hmm. They like to experiment and try different things and new flavors and find new bold expressions. And if somebody is turned on to craft by another distiller, there's a chance they're going to try mine and vice versa. And so anything you can do to support craft in general is good for all of us. And hopefully as more and more states start to see this potential business opportunity in their states, you know, the dominoes will start to fall.
And when you talk about how micro distilleries, when you look at the bottles and you even go to the website, mrdistilling.com, you can learn about the bottles. Like I was looking at your Cody Road Bourbon, your 2013 batch notes. I mean, it tells you who the farmers were, where the wheat and barley came from. Not only that, but it tells you the day it was bottled. And let me see, that one was bottled by Pat, Sharon, Dave, John, Harlan, Mary, Bob, Martha, John, Tom, Nancy, John, Sue, Joan, Scott, and I'm glad to see Ryan and Garrett were on there as well.
We did help. We have a tremendous crew of volunteer bottlers that help us out. But, yeah, you know, we're really trying to showcase what makes us different, and that is that we are a true grain-to-glass distillery and that we're accountable for the ingredients that go into every bottle. So, yeah, each bottle is hand-numbered. And if you go to our website, you can look up the batch notes for that bottle, and then you can go find the story behind it, and we'll tell you exactly where that grain came from. And, you know, we know our farmers. We deal with them on a day-to-day basis. They're real people. These are people in our community, and we're doing something new with their grain that hasn't been done before, but it's still pretty cool. And to showcase, you know, the trueness of that craft, that we're not just buying whiskey from a big distillery and slapping it in a bottle with a different label on it. You know, we're not making this stuff up. This is the real deal from farm to table. And we're just trying to showcase what does make us different than every other bottle on the shelf.
Well, Ryan, as you know, as our name implies, we're a beer drinking podcast. A lot of our listeners are beer drinkers. Some of them are intimidated by whiskeys. They think of it as either shots, or they think it's something that it's got to be an acquired taste. What is a product that you put out there that the whiskey novice would enjoy?
I would say that our Cody Road rye whiskey, rye is known typically for being big, bold, and spicy. We distill it really cleanly, and it's a very approachable whiskey. It's mild enough to just sip on with a couple ice cubes, but it's also a fabulous cocktail whiskey. Back before Prohibition, the predominant spirit in the United States was rye whiskey, and then during and after Prohibition, the corn whiskeys, mainly bourbon, took off, and rye was largely forgotten for a long time. But most of those classic cocktails like a Manhattan, a Sazerac, an Old Fashioned were actually designed for rye whiskeys, and our Cody Road rye is perfect for that stuff. And so maybe start with a cocktail, something, give it a little sweetness and try it. I think the big thing is buying a product that maybe isn't that $7 1 liter bottle of whiskey. you might find that it doesn't burn every inch down your throat and things like that if you buy something quality and kind of ease into it that way. So I highly recommend looking for some quality products and walking into the liquor store, ask them what they like and get yourself on the right road. But there's a lot of fun things going on too between the beer guys and us. You know, we got some breweries that we're working with across the Midwest that are aging some beers in our barrels, and there's a lot of that fun stuff going on. And we'll have a product coming out hopefully later this year. We're still sitting on it right now. It's aging. Where there's a Great River Brewing in Davenport, Iowa. It's just a few miles from us, and we took about 3,000 gallons of their brown ale, which is a heavy chocolate malt beer, and we distilled the alcohol out of it and put it into used bourbon barrels. It's been sitting there for about a year and a half. We're kind of shooting for about 2 years on it, but the hop character carries through on it, the chocolatey malt flavor. It's going to be something completely different, and it's going to be really cool for beer drinkers to kind of see what it's like when you concentrate the alcohol out of that beer, and that's something fun and creative that we're working on too.
Nice. Well, last question for you. As you've gone through this process, and you're now a veteran in distilling, what is something that you learned that surprised you?
Oh, boy. There's been so many twists and turns over the past 3 years, but I think the biggest surprise has just been the reaction in the marketplace from people that either A, have no idea that craft distilling exists, or B, have just never ventured down that road, but that have opened up doors to new flavors. And kind of like I said, I would say probably half the people that come through our door have never tasted a spirit that didn't come off the rail. And so putting a spirit in front of them that's smooth and clean and quality has turned a lot of people on to some new flavors they haven't tried before. And it's always fun and to hear the stories or to see the reactions and to watch that happen. And it just never ceases to amaze me how things have grown, and that bootstrapping of just people talking to other people, how it's turned what was just a small little distillery on the banks of the Mississippi River in LeClaire, Iowa, into now, across a third of the country, our products are being sold. So it never ceases to amaze me how it grows and how that viral word the mouth thing can turn into something big.
Well, thank you.
It always helps to have podcasts and things like that talking about you too.
Well, Ryan, thank you so much for joining us again, and we love your stuff. Keep cranking out the good stuff, and say hey to Garrett for us as well. We got a next time we're in LeClaire, we'll stop by, and hopefully the law will be passed then, and we can sit down and drink some bourbon in your place.
Cheers to that, and then we'll start up two whiskeys in.
There you go. I like it. Wonderful. Well, thank you, Ryan. By my side. Hey, I felt pretty when they turned out the light. I didn't know just what was going on. A big thank you to Ryan for being on the show. Always fun when Ryan joins us. And their stuff is great, so you have to get out at Binny's here locally in Chicago and a lot of different places. If you go to mrdistilling.com, you can see the sites where they're at. But Bobby, it's my turn for music.
You brought the rock?
I'm bringing some rock. I'm bringing some female rock.
Hey, look at you.
I know.
I always thought you were a chauvinist.
No. The group is called Yumi, U-M-E.
All right.
The album is Monument, and the song is called Blackstone. Time for our six-pack of questions, but before we get there, speaking of six-pack, it's time for our beer devotional. You like that?
You hit those notes, man.
I did. Our beer devotional is an Iowa Pale Ale by the Millstream Brewing Company. Thought it'd be fitting having Iowa.
Absolutely.
With Ryan Burchett on earlier. The quote is from Dave Barry. When I heated my home with oil, I used an average of 800 gallons a year. I found that I can keep comfortably warm for an entire winter with slightly over half that quantity of beer. So I like that. Now, here's the beer fact. In the 1600s and 1700s, midwives in Europe and colonial America gave delivering mothers groaning ale is what it was called, which was fermented for about 7 to 8 months and tapped when contractions begin. After the birth, it wasn't uncommon for the child to be bathed in the remaining ale, since it was often more sanitary and readily available, more so than water. So, interesting stuff.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, and you know what, JD? This week, while we're recording, celebrate all beers, even the big brew houses, and you brought into the studio today.
We were talking about it. Miller Beer is trying to do their own craft beer, right?
Everybody, all the macro brews try to do that every couple of years. They try to do a new thing, like this is our new beer, and it's going to be crafty.
And we're not going to discriminate, so we thought we'd give it a try.
It's called Fortune.
By Miller, it's 6.9 alcohol by volume. Have you tried it yet?
I have.
And to me, you know what it tastes like? It tastes like Miller Genuine Draft.
Yeah. It definitely has the...
You know it's a Miller.
Start and the finish of a Miller product. It's not that there's anything wrong with that.
No,
I feel like I'm going Seinfeld there. Not that there's anything wrong with that.
Not that there's anything wrong with that.
But if you're looking for a craft beer, steer clear of Miller Fortune.
Yeah, I mean, go with a craft beer. Go with a local beer. That's what we always
say. Go with an Iowa beer.
Go with an Iowa beer. So it's time for a six-pack of questions, Bobby. And for that, we need music, and it should start now.
And JD, I'll go first.
I think you should.
Because you brought in Ryan Burchett for the interview, so I'm going to start us off. The John Carlson era has ended.
It has.
Describe the era in one word.
Disappointing.
Remember when they signed and you're like, we've got the best tight end tandem in the football league.
We did.
And then John Carlson decided not to play football during that contract.
Yeah, he didn't have the longevity with the Vikings as we hoped. I liked having two strong tight ends because with the best back in the game, that helps. And with Kyle Rudolph healthy again, we don't need to pay John Carlson all that money. So it's sad to see him go, Notre Dame boy, but he is gone. Speaking of football, Bobby, the Bucks got new unis.
Mm-hmm.
And now the Browns are going to have, as they call it, cutting-edge uniforms in 2015.
Oh, no.
Looks like the fad of unis has spread from college to the NFL. Is this a good or a bad thing?
I think it's a bad thing because the reason why they're doing this is the wrong reason. Teams every couple of years, they redo their jerseys because they need to be updated. That makes sense. After, you know, the Broncos' old uniforms needed to be updated, they updated them. Hey, they won a Super Bowl after updating them. They haven't changed them since, so that was in 98. There's no need for it because they know fans have the old jerseys, fans have the new jerseys. We don't need to keep changing it and stealing money from fans.
That's basically what you're doing. Yeah.
So the Football League doesn't need it. College, the uniform that you wear, the numbers that are big change all the time. So, and your age bracket that are buying jerseys is constantly changing. You constantly get every 4 years you've got a new group of people that are buying uniforms. So you can do that.
Yep.
But I don't think the NFL should be doing it. I think it's bad for football. Speaking of the Bucks new jerseys.
Yes.
Who in the NFL do you think needs a redesign that hasn't had one?
Ooh, a team that needs a redesign that hasn't had one. It's tough because you have teams with a lot of longevity, and I think they should keep their uniforms like the Packers. You know, the Cowboys have gone through a few changes.
Yeah.
The Bears, you know, the Colts. There's a team, it feels old and ready to change. It's the 49ers for me. It's the colors, it just feels old. So I think it's ready for the 49ers to change.
All right.
So, Bobby, it's been 25 years since Pete Rose was banned from baseball. Will he get in the Hall of Fame in our lifetime? You know, they revoked him. He's banned from baseball. Will he get back in?
It's going to take Bud Selig not being the commissioner. It's going to take a new commissioner to come in and change it. And that new commissioner can't change it right away. It's got to be a couple years. I think in our lifetime, yes, it'll happen.
In his lifetime?
I doubt that.
Yeah.
I don't think, who knows how long he's had a lot of, there's a lot of wear on those tires.
That's a nice way to put it.
Yeah. And to take over for Selig, somebody to take over for Selig and then change things, it's going to take a long time. I don't know if Pete will... Maybe that'll be the thing once he dies. Maybe that'll be... There'll be more of a push for it.
Yeah.
JD, last question for you is, why right now is the media hitting college basketball, saying college basketball is bad? They're saying this year college basketball is bad. Mark Cuban came out and said that the NBA's D League is better than college basketball at getting players ready for the NBA. Why are people saying this about college ball this year?
I think it's been building for a while. I think just when, you know, it changed and you play 1 year and you're gone. Mm-hmm. I think that really changed the quality of basketball. And so coaches aren't recruiting for 4 years anymore. They can't. You're not going to get the guy. Mm-hmm. So they're recruiting for 1 year and trying to clamber together a team that looks more like open gym back in the day than a disciplined team that's been playing together for so many years. I think that's really the reason it's got to this point. I don't think this year is any exception. I've seen some bad basketball.
Yeah.
And people even say with Wichita State being number two in the country and undefeated, that was an issue.
Yeah.
But we'll see. Tournament time, people aren't even going to think about that. They're going to get excited.
They're going to get excited.
Yeah. You gotta love tournament time.
All right. What do you got for me? Last question.
Last question for you, Bobby. We had Ryan Burchett on talking about all, you know, the spirits that they distill.
Yeah.
You're going to start your own distillery.
Oh, all right. Cool.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
What is the first thing you're going to make?
A bourbon. I really enjoy bourbons, and if you can get a good bourbon, that's gonna, obviously it takes time, but that's gonna be my first project, is getting a good bourbon started, and then I can work on a vodka after that, but I want to be known for having a great bourbon, and so that's the first thing I'm gonna be hard at getting it.
Bobby Van Winkle, I think that's what you should call it. I've got what the label should look like already.
All right.
You can sell for $2,000 a bottle.
Wow, $2,000 a bottle.
I mean, you gotta wait 23 years to get the money, but you know, you'll get the money.
There you go.
And that brings us close to the station. When we come back, last call, one stop away.
Closing time. Open all the doors and let you out into the world.
Bobby, get excited. It's time for last call, one stop away.
Well, how can I not be excited with a voice like that coming at me?
Mine, I'm going to start off, comes from Portland. It is not the City of Angels, that's Los Angeles, but yeah. I know you had a feeling it was.
I thought immediately, City of Angels.
No, but this guy is no angel. His name, Sir Giorgio Clardy. 26 years old. He got arrested. He beat a guy.
What is with you lately in choosing people who hurt other people?
I have no idea.
Is there some untapped aggression that we need to get to?
Yeah, so he beat this guy.
All right.
Was sentenced to 100 years in prison for being this guy, John. John's not his real name. That's who he was. He was a John.
Oh.
Yes. And Sir Giorgio Clardy was a pimp, right? So John didn't want to pay. So Sir Giorgio Clardy did what I guess any pimp would do.
Apparently.
Took off his Air Jordans and beat the guy senseless with his Air Jordans. So he got sentenced to 100 years in prison. But Clardy's not going away quietly. He is suing Nike. Why is he suing Nike? Because he says they should have placed a warning in the shoes, warning consumers that the shoes have the potential to be a dangerous weapon. He's suing Nike for $100 million.
Sure, that's going to go far.
He felt it was the shoes' oversight. Now, this isn't the first issue he's had. He's stomped on someone else with his Nikes when they refused to pay. Upstanding gentleman right here. Upstanding.
I thought immediately when you said that about Wayne's World 2, the roadie in that, where he's talking about getting the M&Ms for Led Zeppelin. He's like, I had to beat them to death with their own shoes.
With their own shoes. Well, the court called him a dangerous offender, obviously.
Sure.
And classified his shoes as a dangerous weapon. So he took that and went, you know what? I'm suing Nike. $100 million because they failed to warn of risk or provide an adequate warning of instruction by not cautioning that their shoes are potentially dangerous.
That's, yeah, dumb.
Yeah.
JD, ingenious Girl Scout. Now we're going from your criminal to an ingenious Girl Scout.
Yes.
Okay. She set up outside a local weed shop selling her Girl Scout cookies.
Should make a killing.
Great place. She sold 117 boxes in 2 hours.
Solid business plan.
Had to call in for backup.
Of course she did.
Because Danielle Lay and her mother set up shop across the outside the Green Cross store with the cookies. Yeah, after 45 minutes, they had to call in for more... Now, the Girl Scouts chapters are coming out against this, saying we don't recommend you sell outside of these type establishments or bars,
sure.
Stuff like that. But that's brilliant. Setting up, that's a you're going right to your audience and selling directly to them. But JD, let's be blunt here. The Girl Scouts, they've always been about the green.
Oh, wow.
Talking about the money.
Okay.
We thought they were high prices before. Now this is what we're dealing with. Actually, what I'm thinking about is what kind of patch do you get for doing something like that?
It's a leaf.
Is it? It could. I was thinking it could be a Girl Scout breaking up a drum circle of hippies with her boxes, something like that.
Sure,
is what it is.
Wow.
Yeah.
Brilliant business plan. You know, sell it there. Oh, wow. Well, a big thank you to Ryan Burchett from Mississippi River Distilling Company for joining us again. It's fun to watch his company's progress as they've grown throughout the years.
Sure.
And it's been fun. Don't forget, you can check us out on Facebook, and also you can email us at
20minutes2beersin@gmail.com. You don't need to put an and in there. It's just 20minutes2beersin.
And we're on Twitter at the number 2, Beers In.
Hey now, the Broncos. Hey now, don't dream it so.